Thank you, Lucas. I just want to start out. A number of these slides are going to look similar to some of y'all were at the symposium yesterday. But we had such a remarkable year this past year in West Tennessee for, you know, those of us documenting and trying to keep track of the continued evolution of glyphosate-resistant weeds. I really want to share it with as many folks as possible. Just wanted to start out kind of actually summing up the whole talk on Palmer pigweed, which is by far the biggest concern right now we have in Tennessee on glyphosate-resistant weeds. Up until 2007, we basically confirmed the glyphosate-resistant biotype of Palmer pigweed in three counties in about six different fields, in Crockett, Lauderdale, and Lake counties. Couple things. They were just isolated to a couple of those fields, and the level of resistance, we'd have some slip through and live through 44 ounces of Roundup Weather Max, but we'd kill them all with 88 ounces. And, you know, going into 2008, I felt pretty good about where we were. They hadn't seemed to move a lot. And then this 2008 come up and just really surprised me. And actually, I probably would have been totally blindsided except Ken Smith and some of his group and the survey and they did the last couple years, because it kind of gave you an inkling that this was starting to build up in the background. And sure enough, it did. It really showed up. I got call after call for a couple months here in the summer on it. We found it in hundreds of fields, this glyphosate-resistant biotype, in 10 counties now, all told in Tennessee. The other thing, not only the spread, but just the level of tolerance, it was really surprising to me. We had fields we put upwards over 152 ounces of Roundup Weather Max, nothing. It didn't check it up, it didn't slow it up. And prior to that, we'd put 22 ounces on and we'd at least slow it up. We wouldn't kill it, but we'd at least slow it up. But now we're putting a lot bigger rates on and seeing no effect. Now, the rest of my talk might seem a little bit like maybe a grade school presentation, My Summer by Larry Steckel, but it was something I won't ever forget, I don't think. This was actually the first call of the year I got. We didn't get any inkling of this coming on. This was in Lauderdale County. My back is against the Mississippi River. And took this picture. The grower went out with 24 ounces of touchdown, had no effect on these spots. He went out about 10 days later with 96 ounces, so that's had 120 ounces of touchdown total on it total. I took this picture 10 days after application. We didn't see any response. To give you a picture of what we're looking at, we were looking at these two spots about seven cotton rows wide, about 120 foot long, and there were two big spots in this 140 acre field separated by about two football fields. I knew we were in real trouble when that much touchdown really helped control the red vine but didn't touch the Palmer pigweed. I know any of y'all familiar with those two, it should be just the opposite. And this really got scary. The other thing that really concerned me about this, I don't know how well you can see it there, but look at the residue on the ground, folks. That's corn. That was corn last year. This is not continuous cotton. This built up in that corn field. Now, some of these were some of the standier spots. It was a little thinner. But that's something I'm really trying to address with growers, is don't forget these corn fields after harvest, because we can sure get a big old flush of pigweed up, a lot of seed produced from the time we cut our corn to the time we get a first freeze. And that's where this built up, actually, in this particular field. There's a lot of scattered plants in between these two spots as the combine spread it through the field. And I think that was kind of one of the take-home things, is not only do we got to take care of those spots, we got to try and cull out these as well. Actually, Kenny Hamm with Syngenta went out, and he was so shocked, and he nuked those two spots with Caprol and Gramoxone, and I was tickled he did it. We really need to have more growers going out and policing some of these spots, because we're on the very early edge of this. We're not like the folks in Georgia and North Carolina that have lots of fields. We're still a lot of the small spots, single plants, and we can still do something about it, jump on them and try and keep them, at least slow it down. Well, after that, the phone just rang. And I went to a lot of fields. Some of them, fortunately, a lot of them that I looked at, the spots of glyphosate-resistant Palmer pigweed weren't much bigger than a pickup truck. It was just trying to get the growers convinced, you know, folks, you need to get out there and, with a hoe, pull it up, what have you. Some were a little bigger. Some were the size of several pickup trucks. Some were the size of a good-sized parking lot. We didn't have a lot of these, but we had enough of them. And some pretty much took the whole darn field. This particular grower, he was about as distraught as I've ever seen anybody. I've run lots of calls through the years. I've seen folks very upset if they had a herbicide hurt their crop. I've never seen anybody just totally upset because they had total failure on their weed control, but he was. He says, I never have any weeds. And he goes, last year I just had one spot of Palmer pigweed in this field. And he ran, he's a smaller farmer, has a little gleaner combine. And I don't know how well you can see it, but you can see where those straw walkers ran on that gleaner combine in this picture. He just spread it out all through the whole field. And that's going to be one of my big educations for, has been so far with growers, is we got to take out those spots and police them as best we can up front. That grower, he was distraught. He goes, I'm going to put some Flexstar on it. I said, well, it's already waist high. You're just going to be throwing good money after bad. He says, I'm going to do something. So he went ahead and put Flexstar on it. I went out and took this picture. You can see the beans are starting to turn, and it just way too big. It was just a waste of money. I know, Ken, we probably had a lot of Flexstar go out this year that was a waste. It was just way too big by the time folks were spraying it. I just did the math of that. There's $55 worth of herbicide on that soybean field, and we've got to do better than that. This was a cotton field I got a call on. This was with 66 ounces of Roundup Power Max. I took this picture about 10 days after the last application. By this time in the whole process, I was becoming fairly distraught. We were just looking at anything. We tried putting, had them put a shot of Invoke over the top just to see if we could get any with ALS resistance. No luck there. I was sure hoping one of them, it would at least help some. By this time, I was coming very distraught. And I don't know if Stanley's still in the room. I like to pick on him a little bit here. I called him and Dr. York a lot this year, trying to get some advice. I called him up, and I explained to him what this field looked like, kind of described it. And he said, well, dude, you're screwed, is what he told me. I won't ever forget that, because he was exactly right. He did give me a pretty good combination to put under the hood that I liked. At least we could see the rows. It's a pint of Direx, a quarter MSMA, and an ounce of Valor. And it did work pretty well. Again, at least we could see the rows, and we will pick a little cotton in this field. They did. That's what it looked like at defoliation time. I just did the math on it. That's like $61 worth of herbicide out there. So just kind of the impact what we saw this year in Tennessee. We had some crop acres destroyed. Just trying to help manage this weed. We need to do more of that in the future on these spots as they appear. For the first time since I've been in Tennessee, we had chopping crews out. I particularly saw them in Lauderdale County trying to just take out these spots that we were missing after 2-3 applications of glyphosate. Just off the top of my head, we were probably seeing in these fields another $20-$30 an acre thrown in weed control, and on those worst fields, we were still losing yield to competition from Palmer. The spread, I think a lot of it was spread with a lot of the flooding we had. We had two floods come in on us this spring, but also a lot of the stuff that Stanley Culpepper's group's doing on pollen movement. I think that really kind of explains why this seemed to creep up on us and just show up. And I've just been telling our growers, now we have to assume all our Palmer pigweed, we're going to need some other help out there. In fields that we don't have resistance yet, we have to assume, you know what, we need to get a pre out there to help get it managed. And on fields where we know we have it documented, we're going to have to use probably a couple pre's in our dry land. A lot of these recommendations is what I'm going to the farmers with, and I really have to thank Dr. York and Dr. Culpepper, because I really leaned on them very heavy here. Dr. York invited me out to his pigweed field day in North Carolina, and I was sure glad I went, because I was starting to wonder if we were going to grow cotton. But it really made me feel very, very good. He gave me a tour of some of their worst places where they've had it for 2 or 3 years now, and by golly, they're growing cotton. It's not as easy as just spraying Roundup over the top. They're having to manage it, but they are growing cotton, and that made me feel real good. I went back to Tennessee feeling a lot better about things. But as far as recommendations, 2 ounces of Valor, a pint of Reflex 30 to 14 days out, and or, depending on the severity of the field as far as it's the Palmer pigweed, how much resistance we have out there, we need to go something pre right behind the planter as well. And in our dry land situations, hope we catch a rain that gets one of these going. Now, where we have irrigation, you can cut the irrigation on and get it worked in. Well, you can probably go with one and do just fine. Then dual in that first shot over the top, and we just got to get the lay-by. We got a lot of options lay-by. We just got to get there, and that's going to be the whole goal, what I'm going to talk to a lot of growers about this year. Continue to get calls on Mayor's Tail. I really feel we got a little bit better handle on it after we've been working with it for a number of years now. It got started in 2001 in Tennessee, spread like wildfire. We had a lot of folks, you know, that in Tennessee we're basically all no-till. The standard procedure up till about 2002, 2003 was to spray a quarter Roundup, drop the planter, and away they went. And this is what we started to see when they did that. Later on, we started looking at using dicamba, and it, for the most part, it worked well, but we did get some instances where we saw it kind of fall through. Mostly on years we had dry springs, we didn't get a lot of good root uptake of the dicamba, and we started to see issues where we weren't getting as good control as we'd like. Basically, we still look at going with the dicamba out there with glyphosate or gramoxone. I often recommend a residual in there like a Valor up front. It helps on the mare's tail. In Tennessee, it can germinate 12 or 10 months out of the year, it's good to have that. Plus, now that with Palmer pigweed, we're going to be working on both weeds. The big thing I really push with our growers is to go out in February and early March and not wait closer to planting for mare's tail if they have a real bad population. Now, that's going to be somewhat in cross with what I'm recommending on Palmer pigweed, because you like to get as close to planting as possible. We're going to have to work out a happy medium on that. Giant ragweed, we continue to have some problems with it. It's good to have a tall cotton specialist to go out and take some pictures in some of these fields. He volunteered to run out there. Had I gone out there, you wouldn't see me. We're seeing this become more and more of an issue in fields. I have to thank Jason Norsworthy. He's helped me on this. I've sent seed to him. He's done a lot of the screening, and indeed we have glyphosate-resistant giant ragweed now in Tennessee. What's happening with it, it's not spreading like mare's tail did, or even like Palmer seems like it's doing. It's more man-made. People are digging it out of their ditches and their fence rows and dragging it into the field, and then they just continue to farm like they have been with just Roundup. Pretty soon they got a pretty good spread of it in the field. A shot or two of Roundup isn't doing it, and that's what the field looks like when all said and done, and that's all they're relying on. This past year we looked at a couple things, just post over the top, the big high rate of staple and invoke at the eighth node cotton. We're getting some competition by this point. We're going to have to live with it if we're going to get to that point. But we did get a lot of stunting, some decent some control, but mostly some stunting. Turned them yellow, kind of shut them down for about 2 weeks growing. The cotton got ahead of them some. We got a little height separation, but we did get a little bit of control. The big thing, though, is it got some height separation, and we could get a hood over it and do a fair job with a hood over it. This is Ignite. I've had tremendous luck with Ignite on giant ragweed, and in a Liberty Link system, you know, it would be a definite consideration. But here it is with a hood going in some Roundup Ready cotton. So giant ragweed, what am I telling growers? The big thing is prevention. Keep it confined to the edge of the fields. Don't let it creep in. That's where it's coming from. It's not moving as rapidly as some of these others, and if we could do that, we're way ahead. If they already have it in the field, a shot of staple or invoke, it's going to help you as far as getting in some height separation, and then you can knock it out with Ignite. Even Direct's MSMA will do a pretty fair job on it, if you can get good coverage. Okay, that's all I had. Glad to take any questions. Yes, Ken. I'm with you. As far as how it happened, I'm still scratching my head. You know, the only thing I can think is, well, the flooding I know had to move some of it, because some of it I could find on the drift lines where the drift went. I mean, you could just see it. But some of it, it probably goes back to some of this pollen movement, and I'm not near the expert on it as some, but they're going at least, 1,000 feet or something? I don't know if any Stanley's folks are here, but I don't know how else it could have spread, Ken. I really don't. It very well could. You know, in our neck of the woods where we are, and it seems like it's blown up on both sides of the river, yeah, I think it's definitely possible. To me, anything's possible right now. I'm really scratching my head on it. Yes, sir.
When these guys find spots that are pickup truck size, whatever, and when
Well, some of those small spots, if they stay on it, I think they can. The problem is the folks that aren't paying much attention to it. And I worked with a lot of the crop scouts this year. They were actually some of the first on the front lines on this, and some of our county agents. And some of the growers they'd work with, yeah, they'd run right out there and pull them right out. And then, but there was a lot that wouldn't, and just didn't worry about it. And that I'm really concerned about those fields next year. I really think that's where the calls are going to come from. Yeah, that's a good point as far as is how this stuff spreads, and that's probably another way is we're right on the Mississippi Flyway. I don't think there's any doubt we're seeing some seed get moved around. I know especially some of this water hemp that seems to show up out of nowhere. I think maybe some of it does come from geese and ducks. I don't know, you know, stuck to their feet and what have you. I don't have any data to back that up, but it sure seems logical.
I think our speaker.